It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Boom. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Riverfront Bengals Show, episode 37. I am your friendly host, Joe Farsing. That handsome lad to my right is everyone's good friend, Greg Niemann. Other right. How are you this week, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I am frustrated because my baseball team is not playing as well as they should. I think a lot of that is on the coach, so I will have to have words with the coach.
So, yeah, I was going to say coaching life right there. And I know.
Yeah, that's – yeah, that there's – yeah, we'll just leave it at that. So before we get going to the meat of the episode here, if you guys are watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Smash the button. Obliterate it. Do whatever you want to do. I don't care. If you're listening on Spotify, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating. 5 stars only. As always, if you would consider joining us at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, you get to join our awesome Slack channel. Greg just started getting active on there recently. We have a lot of fun. Again, we talk a lot of Reds, a lot of Bengals. There's channels for all kinds. You know, we've got a channel that talks the other football, movies, just all kinds of random stuff. I rant on there about 10 times a day about absolute nonsense, if you want my unfiltered thoughts on meaningless shit.
How much do you know about soccer now? I'm curious. Are you a soccer guy?
I am not. Okay. I'm starting. Like, I'm trying to get interested.
Yeah.
I mean, I've only been trying to get interested for 30 years. My best friend growing up played soccer, you know, all through high school. And I never played growing up. So it was just, you know, I'd see a couple of his matches and whatever. Cool. But now that we actually have a competitive team here in Cincinnati, it's entertaining to watch on TV. I want to take, my son doesn't care about it, and my daughter I don't think cares about it, but I'm going to drag them down to go see a match. Have you ever been down there to TQL?
I have not. I've had a couple opportunities, and it just never worked out. I mean, I'm definitely going to make my way down there sometime, but I do have a couple buddies that go to I don't want to say a lot, but enough, and they have a ball when they're down there. They love it down there, so I think it looks pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd is just, like, the atmosphere is unbeatable. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the action, it's totally different from, you know, from American football. There's more action, I mean, because you're constantly moving for, you know, for 45-minute halves as opposed to 3 seconds, wait 40 seconds. But, you know, it's a totally different game. But the more I'm getting into it, the more I enjoy it. So,
yeah. I really get into the World Cup. That's, like, the World Cup I can watch, and that's just – watching for your country makes it to where you're automatically have some level of interest. But so I've always enjoyed that.
The crowds are just absolutely raucous.
They're nuts.
I mean, just the passion that these teams have. And also watching Ted Lasso, and this is the final season. Like, I'm fine, you know, so trying to get more and more. I'm never going to be a footy expert. You're never going to see me wearing one of those supporter scarves that everyone has or the Vuvuzela things or anything like that. Right. But
the Vuvuzela, yeah, those are sweet.
Yeah. But they're interesting, you know. It's entertaining, and you know, it's you get more drawn in. You see more of the, you know, you see why people are so passionate about it. So,
oh, for sure.
That being said, I'll stick with the American football if given a choice. So, you want to talk a little news and notes?
Let's go.
Let's talk a little news and notes. Surprisingly, Bengals' entire draft class was inked on Friday. I know they had, I think it was Thursday was when word was out that they came to terms with Miles Murphy, you know, in agreement, and then he'd be in Friday to sign, you know, because they had the rookie minicamp. Surprisingly, press release came in the afternoon. The entire draft class was signed up, so that's neat.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the way the NFL has gone now to where, I mean, theoretically, if you don't sign one of your guys out of your draft class, it's either A, on you, or it's B, on the player, and it's somebody being completely outlandish in what they want, because the money's basically figured out. So really, it's just the way you write the language of the contract now. So seeing entire draft classes get signed right away, this is the way it should be. We should be waiting on these guys. And I mean that league wide. So, but I'm very happy that the Bengals got everybody done. It's just another thing finished, and let's go get this thing rolling.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, they've got their checklist of offseason priorities, and this one was checked off fast. Yeah, the only time that there's ever going to be any holdup is if there's any question about any medicals or something that wasn't clear, you know, or they took their physical after the draft and needing a second opinion or something. But yeah, the entire structure is completely set up ahead of time. You know, they're all 4-year contracts. First rounders get the fifth year, you know, and the money's all structured. So yeah, it's just whenever you get in, put pen to paper and boom. So again, just getting it done quickly for the players' state of mind coming in. They don't have to worry about having an injury or, you know, getting injured in minicamp, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're just not going to sign you because you blew a knee and you're 6th or 7th round pick. You're kind of useless to them. So, apparently, Jonah Williams to Jacksonville was discussed before the draft. I guess this was a real thing. I mean, we knew that Jacksonville was in the market for tackles. Juwan Taylor went to Kansas City, and Cam Robinson is suspended for the entire year. They balked and ended up drafting Anton Harrison. My take on it, and curious your thoughts, probably similar as mine, but Bengals probably asked way too high, not to say way too high, but they asked a pretty high cost, and they just weren't willing to meet the price. What do you think?
There's no doubt. I don't even know. We call this news and notes. I don't even know this is news. The Bengals are asking too much for a player that wants out. I mean,
yeah,
it's Wednesday, so yeah, it's just exactly another day at the office. The Bengals, you know, just look back. All you got to do is look back at the Carson Palmer trade and know that they sat on him for all that time and then ended up getting what they wanted from Oakland. But the Bengals are not going to trade people away because the player wants it. That's just, they've never operated that way. They never will. And I'm not saying there's a problem with it. I have no issues with them dealing that way because I do think teams get roasted on these trades, given, you know, trading good players for 5th round picks. So I'm totally fine with the Bengals doing it that way. But it's just another day in the life of the way Bengals ownership runs those kind of things with trades of players that are disgruntled.
Absolutely. Duke Tobin has said it a couple times. He's not in the business of making other teams better. And I mean, a draft pick or swap, you know, whatever they were talking about, I mean, definitely wouldn't be a bad thing. But this is a better team if Jonah Williams is, you're right, is invested with, you know, is with the program, invested in the team, and is going to be your right tackle. So,
well, and I think if you're trading Jonah to Jacksonville, I mean, they get tremendously better from that. You know, they would have some serious upside from that that you would have to get a lot back for the Bengals to win that trade, because that would be a huge piece for Jacksonville, who is, you know, everybody wants to talk Kansas City, but let's be honest, there's a lot of good teams in the AFC, and Jacksonville is one of those up-and-coming teams, and there's no reason to give them more, you know, more happiness than we need. Let's keep them down as long as we can.
Yeah, they don't need any more ammunition. I mean, they are I don't want to say a year behind where the Bengals are, because I mean, similar situations, they drafted the first overall back-to-back years, maybe a year and a half where the Bengals, I don't think that their ceiling is what the Bengals have been the last couple of years, but they've definitely got a lot of talent. So
yeah,
again, you don't want to make your opponents better.
So. Yeah, and I don't want to know the answer to the question if you give them a good tackle, do they reach that potential? I don't want to know the answer, so I'm fine with not knowing that.
Exactly. He seems he hasn't been around with the organized team, or Jonah Williams hasn't been around with the teams organized with the OTAs, but everyone seems to at least sound like to the press and on the surface that he's, I don't want to say come to grips. That makes it sound too, like, too negative, but he's like, things have settled down, and you know, he's going to be comfortable competing for the right tackle job. I by all means, I assume he's going to win the job over Cody Ford and, you know, the Hakeem Adeniji and all the, you know, and all the other guys. So get him in here, get him bought in, and let's roll. I mean, it raises, you know, just keeps the floor higher on the for the offensive line.
It's been really nice that there hasn't been, you know, since the Jonah Williams news came out about asking for a trade and wanting out, you know, the news has been pretty quiet, which to me is a good thing. I think the Bengals, again, keep everything in-house. But I feel pretty good about the Jonah Williams situation going forward with him being on the football team. I do think I would say 90%. I feel like, you know, there's a very slim opportunity that something would go awry. But the way it's trending right now, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, and then they, God forbid, you know, you hit a bump in the road and they have an issue with him, then you can still trade him. You know, there's
yeah.
Either trade for a draft pick for next year or trade for, you know, a position of need. You know, if they need help on the defensive line, I think would be a good spot to look for someone towards the end of camp before cutdown. So, interesting note that came out after the schedule release, and we'll get into the schedule release here in a little bit. Bengals or NFL has started, I don't want to say a new tradition because it's not a tradition until it's an actual tradition, but starting Black Friday games, which I think is kind of a cool idea. Just to keep the whole Thanksgiving weekend rolling. Bengals and apparently some other teams volunteered to be the kind of permanent host of the Black Friday game, kind of like how Detroit and Dallas host Thanksgiving game. I think that would be really cool. That they didn't give them or that they didn't make them or have them host the game this year, I don't think that means anything down the road. I think there's still a possibility. I mean, the Bengals have shown, at least, you know, in the Burrow era, that they're a good TV draw. And for something sure. like that, you want to be able to, I mean, the league should encourage teams to try to build their own traditions, and a annual game on that day in your, you know, in your building is a tradition that I think they should be encouraging teams to try to seek. So,
I think it would have been awesome. The thing I heard was that Amazon had a little push that they wanted the game to be a New York game because obviously, you know, retail purchases and those right. kind of things to kind of build on the Black Friday thing, that they wanted it to be a New York team. But I do agree with you. I don't think this necessarily means that Cincinnati won't ever have a chance to maybe have that tradition, because I think it's a brilliant idea
yeah.
by the NFL. They create another primetime game out of thin air. I think it's genius. And I think it's genius of the Bengals to try to go get that. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, get a tradition for yourself. I thought it was brilliant on the Bengals' part to volunteer.
Yeah, and you're gonna have an odd. It doesn't matter. Like, it sounds like Amazon's trying to chase ratings, but you're the only show out there. What are the other day after Thanksgiving games? Army Navy game.
Is that the day after Thanksgiving?
No, they're the week after that. Never mind.
Yeah,
there's a couple college rivalry games that weekend.
Yeah.
But I don't. There's nothing that's going to keep, you know, the normal fan from watching an NFL game that's on. So
yeah, I don't think the NFL worries about college games unless it's like the national championship or the playoffs.
Right.
I don't think they're, you know, actively scheduling around those things. I just don't think that there's really much competition there.
Right, but the networks aren't going to let them trample all over
sure.
Iron Bowl. CBS isn't going to let them trample over the Iron Bowl.
Sure.
ESPN isn't going to let them go or put an NFL game up against Ohio State, Michigan, or anything like that.
Right.
But yeah.
But the Kraft Mac and Cheese Bowl, they might be willing to slide that one out of the way.
I've had a couple Kraft Mac and Cheese Bowls.
Hey, I'm not saying anything bad about Kraft now. I didn't say nothing bad about Kraft Mac and Cheese.
My favorite is the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, or used to be the Humanitarian Bowl, and I don't even know what it's called now. With out on the blue turf out in Boise, just what everyone wants to do is go play a football game in Boise, Idaho, in middle of December.
The one that gets me now is the I think it's the Duke Mayo Bowl, and
God,
man, the things they had these players eat mayo on, it was I almost physically got ill. So
yeah,
if you're not a mayonnaise fan, be careful on the Duke Mayo Bowl.
The winning team dumps a jug of mayonnaise on the head coach, and that's kids, you know, we might be the better team. I'm okay if they're the better team. This day, okay. I do not want to be right. smothered in mayonnaise. Isn't that bad? That's gonna smell after like five showers. You're still gonna smell like a 5 day old sandwich.
I would be having some serious conversations with my players about if we won and that mayo touches me, there's gonna be repercussions for this. I mean, this isn't gonna go unnoticed.
Yeah, I'm gonna have 85 openings in the transfer portal.
I'm gonna be Dion.
Kind of neat little news and notes. Again, more stuff about DeMar Hamlin. Apparently, a couple weeks ago, and here I got the picture put up here from Tyler Boyd's Instagram. DeMar Hamlin hanging out with T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Ja'Marr Chase. Everyone heard about how hard T. Higgins was kind of taking it after the incident. I mean, he was blamed. I mean, it was a football play, but he took things really hard until he was able to actually talk to DeMar. But everyone's on awesome terms. How cool would it be that, you know, in a couple years, you know, whenever DeMar's, you know, a free agent, bring him in for depth?
Oh, that would be the bow on the entire thing. I mean, that would just be, for me, I mean, for me going forward, as long as he stays, you know, healthy from a, you know, like life standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, I hope he plays football again if that's what he wants to do. But as long as he stays healthy from a life standpoint and he gets to live, you know, a normal life or a good life, I'll be very happy. But if he ever made his way to the Bengals, I think that would be really cool too. I mean, I just know that I'll be his fan forever. You never want to see that. I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemies. So, it's just really cool to see the bounce back. I'm super happy for him.
Absolutely. I mean, this is as good a, you know, best case scenario after everything that went down as possible. I mean, the doctors have cleared him and he's completely healthy to resume football activity. So, I mean, awesome. Go and kick ass, man.
Yep. No doubt.
So, Joe Burrow had a press conference yesterday. I didn't even know they're doing press conferences during OTAs, but I just had a couple things. I mean, obviously they peppered him with a ton of questions about the extension. First up, did you see him working out in his headband?
I did not.
Apparently his hair has grown a little longer and he's wearing a headband. And now all Bengals Twitter is doing is posting thirst trap pictures and videos of him looking all beefy. He's hit the weight room hard in the offseason. His arms, like, he looks pretty daggone jacked right now. So if you have a significant other, you don't want them to see those videos because there's a good chance that she just might leave you and be one of the.
And the worst part is, I mean, you can't even blame your significant other. I mean, he's the man. I don't know what you want me to say. The guy's the man. I wouldn't even be mad. I'd almost be honored. I'd be like, hey, you see this? My girl is with Joe Burrow. I mean, I'd be honored. So
right, exactly.
He's a legend.
So anyway, he was asked, talking about his extension, his comments were, I'm involved and that it's in the works, that he's actively coming out and saying that he's involved in the conversations and everything. Again, that's a good sign. There's nothing that's going to be any surprise to anybody that have been paying attention. But I think what's waiting right now is there's one other quarterback who's going to be signing a deal this offseason. Probably one other quarterback. I don't see there's any chance that Miami signs Tua with his health issues and everything. But Justin Herbert, I think as soon as Herbert's contract is announced, Bengals will come out, and a couple of days later after they kind of make those last second adjustments to Joe's deal to make sure it tops it, and his will get announced.
So you do, I mean, you think that Burrow will be at the very top of the ladder when he's at the time of him signing his deal?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. At least until Mahomes' deal gets redone, because Mahomes is going to get redone before the season starts, which, again, he deserves it. But
yeah,
it'll be nice at least temporarily to hold the mantle of a top-paid quarterback, at least until, Trevor Lawrence next year. And even though his numbers aren't going to be up there and he's not going to have the value, I mean, it's, you know, Danny Dimes is making $40 million a year. Quarterbacks get
paid. That's all you need to know. Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Exactly. $40 million. And I know it's been a couple months since he signed that. Man, that's
$40 million. I mean, $40 million.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Per year. That's not a total value of the contract.
For a guy that they were ready to basically walk away from. Yeah. I mean, before last year, I mean, they had no faith in Daniel Jones. If you would have asked anybody in New York Giants facility, hey, would you pay Daniel Jones $40 million a year? 100% of the answers would have been no. I
mean, yeah, exactly.
So that's the world we live in.
Whatever. I mean, good on you. Make your money. You got a limited career, and I'm not going to begrudge someone for making an honest living. So,
yeah.
But yeah, more comments that he was saying is, I'm pretty clear on what I want in the contract and what I think is best for myself and the team. So we are on the road to making that happen. And then specifically when asked about Tien Jamar's extensions, yes, definitely whatever you guys have on the, or definitely whenever you have guys in the team that need to be paid, that's always on your mind. You want to be a focal point. So we're wanting, so we're working to make that happen. So clearly he's going to, or they're going to try to make, try to structure the deal so that it's, you never want to say team friendly, because the guy is going to get, you know, he's going to get plenty of money. He's going to be the highest paid, you know, either in guarantees or average annual salary, things like that. But they're making a point to show that it's trying, that they're trying to be trying to structure to make sure that he can keep everyone around at least, you know, at least for a couple of years. So that's, I think that's, again, just more words that are backing up what everyone's feeling. And again, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't begrudge him for taking, you know, for taking every single penny, and you guys figure out how to pay these guys. That's not my job, but he seems to be taking a very active stance in that.
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, his extension comes paired with T, or in some kind of form or fashion, they all kind of happen close together. Cause I do think that he wants T as bad as he wants his own contract, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's good. It's good for us.
Yeah. Again, there's nothing that's come out that has added any sort of cynicism or any reason to think that this isn't all going to get done. And to the chagrin of all of the other 31 teams that have been trying to mock T. Higgins traded to their team, not going to happen. Sorry.
Yeah.
Again, to quote Duke Tobin, get your own receiver.
Yep. Which I love. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's usually, you know, GMs or, you know, not that he's not the GM, but the, you know, the head player personnel guy, they speak in, you know, they don't speak in as much indefinites, but with Duke, you're going to get an absolute definitive statement. He doesn't talk often, but when he does, he speaks pretty very clearly, and you know where his stance is. He's not going to trade guys and get your own player. Like, we're not going to make teams better.
Yeah, he's never going to – he's never one to give out extra information. I mean, he's going to be straight to it. You're going to get whatever information I want to give, and that's going to be the end of that, which, again, I totally agree with. I love the way the Bengals have handled all this stuff. Even in Cincinnati, you don't hear a bunch of rumblings about, you know, news leaking out. All this stuff stays in-house, and it's perfect. That's how it should be. Of course, we would love to know more. But the more you know, to me, the worse off your organization is. You should not know the behind the door things.
It's absolutely crazy to me that this team in just this short of a time span has built up this much goodwill that we're expecting them to do the right thing now.
Yeah.
It's all because of number nine. I, you know, but so many things had to go into play for them. And maybe not because of number nine, it's more because of Zach Taylor that they've given him the leash and the rope to build the team how he wants them. And yeah, Burrow fell into their lap. You don't want to be so crappy that you get the number one overall pick, but you chose the right guy. I mean, you didn't go for Tua. You didn't, you know, people were still talking about Justin Herbert, who's, you know, fine, but he's not that personality. Burrow's that personality, that leader. He's magnetic. People follow him. He's just an absolute dude, for, you know, for lack of better terms. But they're building the team properly around him. They're giving him what he wants. He doesn't really care too much about a playmaking tight end. He just needs a guy. So they're not wasting resources on that guy. That's proven in free agency, proven in the draft. He wants running backs who can catch the ball. So they're bringing, you know, they're putting feature in. I mean, Joe Mixon has been, the last 2 years, he's been so much better catching the ball out of the backfield than I ever thought he was able to. And they brought in Chris Evans a couple years ago, and they don't use him as much as I think they could or should, but he's a fantastic receiver. Chase Brown, like, he's real, you know, he's didn't get used as much in the passing game, but he's got really good hands. Like, they're tailoring the team to fit the roster as opposed to trying to fit the roster to the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and guys, there was
you try to fit square pegs into round holes, sometimes having a vision for how you want the team. But you've got to go through so many different players to find that, because some guys aren't great fits. And I like that, you know, they're building the team around what, you know, what fits their personnel.
Yeah. And with the Chase Brown pick, I believe, I wish I knew exactly what the stat was, but I think he was number one in all of Power Five for pass blocking win rate as a running back.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I remember that stat correctly. Yeah. So again, just to your point, you know, he fits what they want to do. You know, winning pass blocking is huge from that running back position. I mean, that's the difference in the play a lot of times is, does that back make that block that gives you that extra three quarters of a second to get that ball off? I mean, so I liked that fit into the Bengals mold, which is another reason that I love that pick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you have a back that can pick up the blitz, teams aren't going to zero blitz you because they're not going to have that extra runner coming up the middle because Samaje Perine's picking him up instead of someone just trucking Joe Mixon or pushing him, you know, absolutely just pushing him out of the way. So, I mean, I Bengals, unbelievably so, in my 42, almost 43 years on this planet, I don't want to say too much trust and faith, but I believe in them and it's terrifying.
I know.
I'm ready to get hurt.
I'm with you. We were talking about how it's all, you know, number nine, but I, you know, this popped into my head and I think it's kind of wild to think about. But the best thing that maybe ever happened to this Bengals franchise, if you really look at it, may have been Joe Burrow's ACL his rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want that, but I get your point.
You don't want it, but if Joe Burrow's healthy, the Bengals aren't going 4-12 or 3-13. They would have won at least seven. I mean, right? They would have won six or seven, which means no Jamar Chase. So there's an argument to be made for, you know, everything can be a good thing sometimes. If you just give it enough time, it all works itself out. That would be one of those scenarios.
You don't want to call it divine intervention because you don't want someone to blow out every single ligament in their knee.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's obviously rehabbed and came back from the injury is, you know, with zero side effects, you know, that at least seemingly zero side effects were, you know, over 2 years away from the injury. So, yeah. I'll take it. We were talking about sadness and things like that just before about how I'm used to getting ready to get hurt. Teams that are used to hurt and sadness, Cleveland Browns, they actually traded for, picked up a nice piece. Za'Darius Smith picked him up from the Packers. A nice compliment to Myles Garrett on the other end. They've got a good roster. They're going to find a way to screw it up because of the Browns. And they have Deshaun Watson, who was just dreadful last year. But again, they've got a good roster. They've got playmakers. They've got players who can compete at every level on defense.
They scare me. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Well, scare me is not the right word, but they have my attention. I know everybody's Deshaun Watson this, Deshaun Watson that. You know, he didn't play football for, what was it, 20 months, 24 months?
Almost two years, yeah.
There's going to be some rust there when if he gets back to, you know, what he was in Houston with the roster they have in Cleveland. Whew, I mean, they're a nice looking roster, top to bottom. If you take away the quarterback position, and Deshaun Watson, if he gets back to his old form, they have real talent up and down that roster where they could definitely be a problem.
Yeah, I feel less concerned about them adding another pass rusher because Bengals offensive line, again, just the floor of the offensive line has come up just over the past, you know, just since the offseason. Myles Garrett is still going to tip a couple passes at the ball, you know, or a couple passes at the line and just hope they don't get picked off as the way that they do. But again, I mean, it's a talented roster. I mean, this isn't the crap Browns of the 85 different quarterbacks in 10 years, you know. In years now, if they had a more consistent quarterback, you know, or had a more of a sure thing at quarterback, I'd be concerned about them for the division. But I mean, that's a team, and they since Burrow's been here, they've kicked the crap out of them, frankly. So
yeah, I'll say this: I'm more concerned right now with the Browns than I am the Ravens. And I know that's for a lot of people, that's a crazy statement. I just don't. As far as making a deep run in the playoffs, I think the Browns are much more capable than the Ravens are. I just – Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, I do not see him delivering the ball from the pocket, which I think has to be done in the playoffs. And Deshaun Watson, I can see him delivering the ball from the pocket, them playing really good defense, and we haven't even talked about Nick Chubb. The Browns scare me more than the Ravens. They really do.
Yeah, I mean, if they can get production, like consistent production out of their passing game, they don't have a standout weakness. They aren't great against the run on defense. Their tackles and linebacking crew aren't great, but teams don't run the ball that much anymore. Bengals threw the ball 63% of the time, so that's one out of three downs you've got to worry about running against them. Peacock Network, they're going to stream a wild card game on Super Wild Card Weekend exclusively. What do you think? I got a couple thoughts, but I'll let you touch on that first.
I mean, personally, personally, I despise it. I'd rather just be able to, turn on the TV. I mean, selfishly, I despise it. I mean, as far as growing the NFL, they'll make, I would assume they're going to make additional money because of this. It is what it is. My true feelings are it is what it is. It's going to happen. It's 2023. I mean, I'm sitting here on a podcast right now and I barely know how to use my phone. So, the digital growth is going to continue to happen. So it is what it is.
There's a lot of people that are going to be using their 1 week free trial membership to Peacock, like all these streaming services have, just for that one game. We have Peacock, but I don't even care. I just think it's just another step on a slippery slope to the NFL being completely streaming, completely week by week, only available on a paid package. Like it's in 10 years, maybe not this next TV contract, but the one after that, games aren't going to be on free over the airs. It's not going to be on NBC, CBS, Fox, ABC. It's going to be on ESPN Plus. It's going to be on Amazon. It's going to be on YouTube TV. It's going to be on these streaming services, and it's just going to make it more expensive. They'll probably license the game so the home team market can, one of the local channels can watch it, but you can't watch, you're going to have to pay for some service to watch the second game or to watch the earlier game or to watch games that are usually free. And I hate it. I think it's better to make everything available to a larger crowd, to a larger audience, than chase every penny you can go after. But this is America, after all, and that's what we do. Screwing everyone off as we step over them to get every penny we can. Yeah. I'll leave it at that. Speaking of pennies, just a couple pennies here. Commander sale is nearly complete to Josh Harris for $6 billion with the billion with a B. That's a lot of money.
You can make it rain for a while.
Yeah, it's going to be torrential downpour, monsoon season, Forrest Gump in Vietnam era type rain that way. largest sale in American pro sports history. It tops the Broncos, $4.6 billion to the Walton family. Rob Walton, I don't know, one of the Walmart Waltons.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Harris already owns the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Jersey Devils. If he has any interest in adding a Major League Baseball team to his portfolio, I know a team, well-established, nice stadium. They could use a competent ownership group. Got a lot of fans. I mean, deep, deep, true, built-in fans. Just saying. I mean, give Bobby Castellini a call.
And to help this out, this is a great time to buy the Reds. I mean, The Votto contract's dropping off after this year. The Moustakas contract drops off after this year. And they're loaded with prospects.
Yeah, loaded. They have one contract that's that has guaranteed money after this year, and that's to Hunter Green, who's 23 years old. So just saying, you might want to make a phone call to 100 Joe Nuxallway or whatever the address is for the stadium. It's also not a great sign when now you own three teams and the least detestable of them, Philadelphia 76ers, bounced again in the playoffs. They've been trusting the process since 1776. Washington Commanders are probably the most hated. I think they've overtaken the Patriots and Cowboys as the most hated NFL franchise, and not out of jealousy how those franchises' hatred, got started. I mean, no one's really jealous of the Cowboys anymore. But that's, they were America's team because they were good. Just because of Dan Snyder. But the only team but the least detestable team, they're named the Devils.
That's a tough go at it. I mean, you know, like you said, the 76ers have been trusting the process since the word process was invented. So, you know, when the New Jersey Devils are your best, I guess when the New Jersey Devils are your best, you just keep buying teams. Just keep buying teams until you figure one out.
Add to that portfolio. I mean, you've got MLS, you've got, you know, you've got Major League, you can go get some Premier League team. So, I mean, it's, you got that money to throw around. I mean, you just keep trying to find less awful franchises, I guess. And the Reds aren't detestable. I mean, they're,
no, I mean,
you hate the ownership, but I mean, that's, you know, the people of Cincinnati love the team. That's, they're not,
First baseball team ever. Cincinnati loves baseball, and now we actually have a chance to be good next, you know, starting next year if they maybe kick a couple shekels, you know, spend a couple shekels out there.
Figure out some things. Alas, we are the Riverfront Bengals show, not the Riverfront OG show with Chad and Nate. So we will go on to the topic of this week, which is NFL schedule release. That came out last week. I'm just going to quickly read off the Bengals schedule here. Game one, they are at Cleveland, 1 o'clock. Game two, home for Baltimore, 1 o'clock. Game three is a Monday night game home for the Rams. I think that's probably your best chance for the Ring of Honor game and the whiteout. October 1st, they are at Tennessee. October 8th, at Arizona. October 15th, home for Seattle. Bye week is week seven. I kind of wish it were a little bit later in the season, but they win the division and get the number one overall seed. You get a bye week then anyway, so. Coming out of the bye, things get a little difficult. At San Francisco, Sunday, November 5th, they are home for a Sunday night game against Buffalo. Houston at 1 o'clock, nice little let-up game there. Then they have a Thursday nighter at Baltimore. Interdivision road game in primetime. Those are never fun. Bengals are 0 for the last 13 in primetime interdivision games. So never a good sign. Next week, home for Pittsburgh. Next Monday, they are on the road at Jacksonville, then home for Indianapolis. Next week, it's TBD against Minnesota. They'll be at Paycor. It's either going to be the Saturday night or either going to be a Saturday or Sunday game. Week after that is the Saturday night, Christmas Eve at Pittsburgh. Week after that is the huge one, week 17 versus those hated Kansas City fighting Mahomes, and they finish up the schedule with a most likely irrelevant game where their backups are going to be playing Cleveland, and Cleveland's going to be happy if they beat Trevor Siemian at quarterback, because what else they have to do? So
hopefully.
Exactly. Initial thoughts on the schedule, first impressions.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you kind of hinted at it when we were talking, but the toughest stretch to me is after the bye week. The bye week is vitally important for the Bengals. I agree with you, the bye week's early, but the one thing I do like is I think the bye week's right before the toughest stretch of the season. You got at number one, Vegas came out, and the Bengals were only underdogs in two games this season at this moment, and that is the at San Francisco and at Kansas City. Those are the two games the Bengals are underdogs in coming into the season. That's neither here nor there. But you get after the bye week, you go at San Francisco. That's a tough game. Yeah. Home against Buffalo, primetime. That's a tough game. You have Houston at 1 o'clock, sandwiched in between four other tough games. That's the letdown game of the century with Houston. And then you have a very, very, very quick turnaround after the letdown game against Houston, and you go at Baltimore on Thursday night. Don't love that. And then you follow that up with Pittsburgh at home and then at Jacksonville. That's a stretch. You know, looking at the schedule, you can say, well, Houston's a gimme. But at San Francisco, Buffalo at home, at Baltimore, Pittsburgh at home, at Jacksonville, I don't think any of those are layups. You're going to have to come play. That's a tough stretch there that they're going to have to hope to get out of there 4-2. I think I'd be very happy if they went 4-2 in that six game stretch. But that's definitely, to me, that's the hard part of the season where if things happen to fall off the rails or you have a couple injuries at that moment, those games can really swing. That's going to be the area of the schedule that I think you really got to make sure that you're on point those 6 weeks.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It again, that's the one benefit of the bye week being where it is it does predate, or you know, it does come before you've got this hard stretch. So if you have anyone with kind of nagging injuries, linemen, you know, dealing with a little bit of soreness or something like that, take that week, yep. get healthy, rest up going into it. That Houston game, it kind of screams trap game, but it also screams as a kind of a carrot for the, you know, for Zach Taylor. Like, listen, we've got two tough games at San Francisco, then Sunday night against Buffalo. You guys get through this. You know what I mean? I should have checked this beforehand. I don't know if they've actually fallen into any letdown game traps in the past couple years. Last year, I mean, there was time for letdown games. They almost let them happen against Tampa Bay and against New England. But, I mean, they went absolutely 10-0 down the stretch. After, you know, they scuffled for a little bit, and that's how they were in 2021. They kind of stumbled, but, you know, it took them a little bit to find their footing. I don't know, you know, I mean, games that early when they were finding their feet, I don't even know those would even be considered trap games. So,
yeah.
But, I mean,
The only one maybe last year would have been the Cleveland, maybe, but I don't really consider that a trap game.
It's a divisional game. It was a Monday night game. Again, they just found out hours ago that their offensive assistant coach died.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I mean, people, you don't want to make excuses, but it's going to be kind of, you know, that's a little bit of a, you know, nice gut punch before you go take the field. Oh, hey, guess what? Coach did.
Yeah, that's real life. I mean, that's real life. You know, that's a father, that's a husband. You know these people on a personal level. That's just totally different. Yeah.
Yeah, and especially, you know, a lot of the coaches that have been around the Bengals for a while, like Darren Simmons. I mean, he coached with his dad. I mean, Adam Zimmer was there. You know, been with the Bengals, but Mike Zimmer was with the Bengals for a long time before that coach with them. So this is, you know, a good friend, not just a coworker. I mean, this is someone who's been around the organization. So that's, you know, again, I mean, it's, you know, maybe that's making excuses. I don't know. They played like absolute crap that game. So it's, you know, either way you want to slice it up, but it's still a division game on, you know, division primetime game. So I don't, that doesn't even fit as a trap game so much as just a letdown. I mean, that's the Andy Dalton letdown, primetime letdown game to where, you know, everyone's all, you know, jacked up and excited. And then all of a sudden the football's kicked off and you come out and just lay an egg. So
hold on. Are you saying Andy Dalton let us down in primetime? What?
I know you're younger than I am. I don't know how far back your memory goes, but there was a time.
I remember. Yeah, I remember it all. Okay. I remember it all.
There was a time when the Bengals crapped the bed in primetime and big games under Marvin Lewis.
Yeah, I don't. For some reason, it's just gone. I forget.
It seems a lot further away than it actually is.
You ain't getting there.
Are you surprised that the Bengals only got four primetime games?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I think there's I'm surprised they only got four because clearly they're one of the biggest draws in the NFL and they should have maxed out. But I'm also not surprised because. And I think this is just a good thing for the NFL in general. The Bengals are a huge draw, but look at the storylines in the AFC alone. There's just way too much great storylines that also deserve primetime. You know, the Jets, that storyline's incredible. Those AFC East divisional battles this year, pick any one of the four or pick any two of the four and let them play against each other. It's going to be what should probably be a primetime game. I mean, between the Patriots, Jets, Dolphins, and Bills, I mean, that division's amazing. I just think that there's so many good storylines that I'm not entirely shocked that they didn't have five.
I'm a little surprised. I've got when you look at the list of teams that have more games, Chargers have the most, like Chargers, Chiefs, Bills, and Cowboys have six primetime games. Cowboys are a huge draw. Like they're a decent, I mean, they're a good team. I mean, they're a playoff team. Bills and Chiefs, Chiefs are number one. Bills are right behind the Bengals, 2 and 3 in the AFC. Like, okay, cool. But the Chargers, it's LA has yet to truly buy into them anyway. And I don't know. That's weird to me. And then teams with five games, Jets, Giants, Packers. Is there a lot of people clamoring to see Jordan Love?
No.
Or Kirk Cousins, like Vikings get five games, or Jimmy Garoppolo with Las Vegas. And then you have the Eagles and the Niners. Okay, cool. Those are the NFC's elite two teams. But just, I don't care. I wish they had zero. I wish they played all 17 games at 1 o'clock Eastern. Even if that means playing at 10 o'clock, even if they're playing out in the West Coast and they're in San Francisco this year, kick off at 10 o'clock in the morning so I can get my regular routine. And 1 o'clock, I'm sitting on my couch waiting for the kickoff. Selfishly, I just like the games that way. You know, I like it better that way. I don't look at it as disrespectful or anything. It's just, it's more curious about the teams that have more than it is that the Bengals don't have more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But in some token, I mean, they had to find a way to give some NFC teams primetime games. I mean, because outside of the Eagles and San Fran, do you want to watch anybody in the NFC on primetime? Because I do not. Eagles, San Fran, yes. But other than that, I mean, you could have literally made – what is it?
The Lions, because they are fun as hell.
Well, I agree with you on that.
If you're also banking on Jared Goff to play that well again this year, but that's a fun team to watch. Now, their defense should be better. It was terrible, but they're at least entertaining. So that's – I mean, I get why they have four primetime games. But
I agree with you on that. But, okay, so let's throw Detroit in. You go San Fran, you go with Philly – and you go with Detroit. Okay, so three teams that I would enjoy watching in prime time. But you go to the AFC. I mean, I can list off an easy eight, and that's like easy. So I guess they had to sneak some NFC teams in there somehow. So you got to put Dallas in there, of course. So,
and that's not even considering that some of the quarterbacks are going to have bounce back years. Russ Wilson isn't going to be as bad as he was last year.
Agreed.
You have to assume that the Ravens are going to – that Lamar Jackson is presumably going to be healthy, I guess. Like, they're at least an entertaining team when he's on, because, I mean, he's a Madden video game character with, you know, some of the highlight reel moves he can make. So, I would rather all primetime games just be AFC teams because they're, just a lot more competitive and better quality of football. But, yeah, it's weird when you just look up and down. And then there's the poor teams like the Houston Texans, Atlanta Falcons, Arizona Cardinals, and the Indianapolis Colts, who have zero prime – well, at least scheduled to have zero primetime home games or primetime games. If any of them – I mean, I could see the Falcons hanging around in playoff position because the NFC South is just flaming hot garbage. If they're hanging around towards the end of the season, they can be. I can see them flex into a Sunday night game, or I guess they're now flexing games into Monday, which is just a terrible idea. It's bad enough for people that have tickets and then have to totally change their schedule to go from a 1 o'clock game to an 8:30 game. Now you're having to do it for an entirely different night with very short notice. If you're traveling to see the game, or if you, it's more about the almighty dollar than it is about the. The people who care about the game, but
when you're switching in the same day, I mean, when you have Bengals tickets, your whole day, or if you have NFL tickets, your whole day is occupied. Yeah. Like you're not planning other things, Now maybe if you're coaching baseball or something, you might have a baseball game you got to go to, but whatever. But changing days, that's a whole different thing. I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of that. I just think it makes it rough on the fans. But again, the almighty dollar takes over.
Right. What game are you looking most forward to?
All of them. No. I obviously, the easy pick is at Kansas City. I'm super, super fired up for the at Kansas City game. I think that game is going to be – not only is there going to be most likely playoff implications, but that is going to be – not only will it feel like a playoff game, it's going to feel like the AFC Championship. Game is going to be wild. That one's going to be super enjoyable.
There's only one game that I put above that, and the only reason that I kind of holding on to that, not that it's become kind of cliche to say the Bengals Chiefs, there's a chance that there's a two-game separation between the two of them, and one of them has number one seed wrapped up by that point. I mean, they're the they're the late game on Sunday, so say the Bengals have a two-game cushion over them, then are they, is Joe Burrow going to play that entire game? Or if it's the Chiefs, is, Mahomes going to,
Sure.
These are teams that they don't hate each other, but I mean, these are teams that have a very strong rivalry. I mean, the players are very hot and, hot blooded to, to go after one another. So
without question,
that's the, that's my only caveat. And again, I'm looking, I mean, that's New Year's Eve and we're here in mid May. I'm looking forward to the game at San Francisco. It's, again, I think the Bengals are the better team than the 49ers. 49ers have and are going to continue to have an absolutely lights-out defense. But Bengals are going to have a fantastic offense, and I think Bengals' defense is better matchup than is better than the 49ers, 49ers' offense, because are you really expecting Brock Purdy to – again, and I keep harping on this – and maybe he is that guy that he showed last year. He's a seventh rounder, like absolutely played out of his mind, better than, 25, 28 other quarterbacks. Can you really expect that to happen? He's coming off of elbow surgery and they're shopping, or at least were shopping, Trey Lance. So obviously they have no faith in him if he's not ready, or if he's not health, not healthy, or if he gets injured, because as you saw in their, playoff game, I mean, their quarterbacks drop like flies sometimes. So
no doubt
that'll be a fun game. I mean, there's, again, anytime you play the 49ers, always dredging up, all the old timers from, 88 and 81. And it's a cool matchup seeing those two. So,
yeah, I agree. Yeah. That one will be fun. I like that it's off a bye week too. I'd love to win that game against San Francisco. Cause I can't, you can't beat San Francisco enough, because we never seem to beat them. So we'll take a win if we, we'll take a win if we can get one.
Yeah, exactly. Any bold predictions? I didn't even put this down in our notes, but you got any bold predictions on, I don't want to say the whole schedule, but just,
sort of bold prediction. I think that it is very, very feasible for the Bengals to be walking into the bye week 6-0. And the thing that I really feel good about is that, when Joe Burrow does something poorly, he usually tries to correct those actions pretty quickly. And I know seems so long ago, but if you remember Joe Burrow last year after the appendectomy, week one and week two were not good. They were poor. So I believe Joe Burrow is going to make it a point. And you talked about how he looks and his physique, and that he's, obviously been putting in work. I think Joe Burrow is going to come out to start out hot this year. So I think the Bengals will be 6-0 walking into the bye week.
You stole my thunder. I should have gone first, especially since I came up with the question. I mean, again, looking at schedule, I mean, it's, No game is a gimme. I don't think Seattle is as good as they were last year, even with adding I forget the wide receiver they drafted, because they're 4-1 and Jackson Smith and Jigba, or Njigba Smith. I don't think Geno Smith is as good as he was. Plus we're playing them here. Baltimore is always going to be a tough game, but all six of those games are winnable. And I think this year, and again, knock on whatever. I mean, this time last year, Joe Burrow was completely healthy, ready to go too. It wasn't, it wasn't until right before camp started when he had the appendicitis issue come up.
Right.
We're hoping and just wanting a normal preseason and ramp up for this guy. I mean, you go from COVID to knee rehabilitation to everything's good. We're ready to go after the Super Bowl loss, and his appendix burst and lost like 15 pounds and spent the first 3 weeks of the season trying to get himself back into playing shape. So fingers crossed he's, it's uneventful all the way up until kickoff on 1 o'clock on Sunday, September 10th. So,
yep.
Outside of that, we got a long time before anything meaningful football wise happens. This downtime is we need something exciting to happen. Like maybe some signings. You need like a more elongated, like free agency goes by too fast in football. That's my one issue with it. That's why I like baseball free agency. It lasts for a couple months. NFL free agency, it's over in a week, and then you just have this long downtime of nothing.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you one real quick question.
All right.
Do you think that there's any chance of the Bengals doing anything at the running back position from this point forward that is outside of a mix and restructure, not including a mix and restructure, but do you think there's a chance they bring in another body at running back outside of what we already have?
I don't think so at this point. I mean, they've added Chase Brown and the other two guys are still younger ish. They know what they have with them. I don't want to say they trust them. Clearly they don't trust Chris Evans that much, but Zach Taylor has gone out and pointedly stated that Joe Mixon is part of this team. So unless something happens, I'm not sure what the latest is with his misdemeanor menacing charges, you know, that they refiled. It's still expected that they're going to ask him to take a pay cut, which they haven't done yet. I think, again, that's all going to come when they get the Burrow and T's extensions squared away. I could also see Lyle Collins getting cut at that point too, just to free up some more money, just to push, you know, in someone's deal earlier. But short of him just suddenly saying, "Yeah, I'm not going to take a pay cut, cut me," I don't think so. Do you?
Yeah.
Think there's going to be any movement?
No, I just think it's interesting that, you know, I keep reading articles and guys, you know, rank their top five landing destinations for some of these running backs that are, quote, on the market, but we're not really sure. Derrick Henry, yep. Dalvin Cook. And you know, a lot of those experts have put the Bengals in their top five on landing those running backs. I'm with you. I would be surprised if Derrick Henry or Dalvin Cook or a move like that was done. I'd be surprised. So I would lean more towards we're going to, you know, what you got is what you got right now. I'd be surprised if that changes, but you never know.
Yeah, I don't know if that was that CBS. I saw that where they had like five running backs that could be on the move. And
yeah,
Bengals listed for Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry. Yeah. None of those make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Those are guys that are going to cost more than what you would get Mixon at with a reduced contract.
Yeah.
You try to figure out like where their line of thinking is, and it doesn't make sense. Like the Bengals need to pare down costs in certain areas, and they have a running back who is a good running back. I mean, decent running back, but his contract, you know, even if he were Derrick Henry, they don't need that guy at running back. They don't need that size contract. And even at a reduced price for Derrick Henry, he's still going to get more than what Mixon's going to come down. So it just doesn't make any sense. If anything, it would be like Zeke Elliott or something like that coming in if anything happens to Mixon and he's not, surprisingly, not back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would have to be the perfect price, and it would all have to work out majestically for the Bengals if they would pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, the only one that I would even be, I don't want to say the only one I'd be interested in, because those, I mean, they're all good running backs that they mentioned. They all have a lot of, you know, relatively fair amount of tread on the tire. But the one I'd be interested in is Austin Ekeler, just because of his dual purpose capability. Yeah. That, again, you can't have enough of those guys in the Bengals are passing offense, and have someone that's that dynamic, not only can catch well out of the backfield, but is also elusive out of the backfield too. But short of that, yeah, I don't, none of those guys are happening. So
yeah.
Any parting thoughts before we get out of here?
I do not. Another good week. Go Red Legs, go Bengals. I'm ready for this NFL season, and you know, life is good. We're getting into the summer. Enjoy the summer months. We finally got some good weather.
I know. I need to cook out this, going to grill out this weekend. Father's Day is only a few weeks ago. I hope there might be a female who watches or listens, so I hope you had a great Mother's Day if you do. So
yeah. Happy, yes.
Past tense Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Outside of that, guys, we will be back. We're I don't want to say we're not on a schedule, but we're not really on much of a schedule. We're going to be working on show ideas to different stuff to work on to different types of formats or something like that, just in the off season with not a lot of news and a lot of movement to talk about. If you guys have any thoughts or anything like that, please feel free to contact us. I am at TRBengalsShow at Twitter, team@riverfrontcincy.com. We are here for you guys. So if you guys have any thoughts or anything, any questions, please let us know. I would assume we will probably be back in 2 weeks unless there's anything funky that happens, any cool stuff with the extensions or anything like that. Outside of that, everyone take care of yourselves.